You're listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
Job in the editing suite I've been in. The editing bay. I'm sorry, not the editing suite. Different terminology. But the editing bay that I've been in, from like 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it gets fucking Icelandic in there. Like, I have to, everybody brings like hoodies and sweatshirts. I need to get some gloves and get like a hibachi in there or some sort of space heater.
Completely fair, Joel. You know, it's 106 degrees outside and you're working in a place that has like all this like film and electronics equipment. So they have to keep it cool.
I know, but they don't have to keep it like sub-zero. Like, there's meat hanging in the corner of my editing bay.
I think that would be fine.
Jesus.
Welcome to the editing bay here on the Next Wave Radio Network. We are your editing baiters. My name's Joe.
I'm Joel.
And we are going to talk about something very special because this is our sixth episode.
Oh, it's special, all right.
And so we thought, what more appropriate movie to celebrate our sixth episode than Leonard Part 6?
Oh, jeez.
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't know what this movie is.
And I wish I were one of them.
So back in the 80s, you know, Bill Cosby, who you've no doubt heard of, Bill Cosby is a big deal. Bill Cosby is, you know, a hugely successful comedian, writer, and philanthropist.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was also in the movie I Spy, which was like the first time that you had like a black action hero on TV that was teamed up with a white dude.
Breaking barriers.
Uh-huh. And then like in the 80s, he decided to do a little action movie, a little action spy flick.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. It's in the vein of something like Austin Powers.
And that's what the description on like IMDb says. It's a takeoff on that. But it's not. It's just a bad movie.
Yeah. It feels like there are some moments that are supposed to be kind of funny, kind of tongue-in-cheek. But it felt like they were kind of going for something a little more gimmicky, something a little bit more marketable. And it fell awfully flat.
Well, here's the thing. And this is going to be a conflicted episode for me because I am actually a huge Bill Cosby fan. Like, growing up, I would listen to the comedy tapes just over and over again. So, like, all those bits are kind of, you know, ingrained in my, you know, my persona.
The Bill Cosby himself special.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, that. I get a lot of my sense of humor was kind of built on watching Cosby. And I love The Cosby Show. Uh-huh. I love that it was a sitcom that was kind of about family. But they would do musical numbers and they would do, you know, just different types of, I don't want to call it storytelling, but it wasn't 2 and a Half Men. It was something that the entire family could kind of sit around and watch and laugh at, but, you know, feel like a unit.
As shallow as it sounds, I'm sorry, I'm eating. I'm starving. We just recorded
Kit Kat over there.
We just recorded one of our Star Wars podcasts. So as shallow as it sounds, and I don't mean it in a shallow way, but it really was kind of a way for white America to get a look behind the curtain of like how does a black family live? You know, what Bill Cosby gives us an accurate portrayal of an African American family in America.
You're absolutely right.
And it's just like, it sounds so stupid, but you know, but what they were showing us was they're just like us.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, funny things, there's dramatic things, there's family. You know, these are the tribulations that they go through.
And it's funny you should say that because on the DVD of Leonard 6, by the way, you can't find this on Netflix or Hulu or it may be on YouTube.
But I don't know how I found this in a DVD store.
It has been buried. So good luck finding it. Although, really, you don't need to watch it. Just listen to this podcast. We'll tell you everything you need to know.
We're going
to
guide you right through it.
But on there's a trailer section, you know, on the DVD, as there usually is. Mm-hmm. But one of the trailers they're showing isn't for a movie. It's for like a series of DVDs coming out. And it's all the old sitcoms. It's like Jefferson's, Good Times. What are some of the other ones? But they're showing clips.
Sanford and Son.
Thank you, Sanford and Son. They're showing clips and everything is like, just like stereotypical 70s, you know, it's like, hey, 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 or hey, hey, how does he do? Hey, hey, hey. That's what it is. Thank you. Obviously, I never watched these shows because I was white. So you go from that and you compare and contrast it to The Cosby Show. You know, he was a doctor. His wife was a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And I remember specific episodes where they would talk about like slavery and, you know, like their parents, like the grandfather, Rudy's grandfather, would talk about, you know, what it was like in their heritage.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a little bit of a history lesson.
Uh-huh.
And so I really admire Bill Cosby for that and breaking ground. And I'm sorry, I think he's funny. I know a lot of people don't think he's funny. Maybe his style of comedy is a little old-fashioned, but I will stand up for all of those.
Well, no, the thing is, especially when you listen to his stand-up, he's very much an intellectual comedian. He's a very smart man.
He's a storyteller.
You can tell. He's a storyteller. He's an educated man. He's got a pretty decent little bit of physical comedy to him,
mm-hmm.
but he knows how to tell a story, and he knows how to tell a funny story.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget, you know, his whole bit talking about, you know, his kids waking up and his wife making him get out of bed to make his kids breakfast, and then he ends up giving them all chocolate cake because
yeah.
that's what the father does. The father does the easiest thing.
That is great.
And tries, yeah, exactly,
give us a chocolate cake.
And it's a brilliant bit of comedy, mm-hmm. but it's also very real. You know, that's what he was able to do is tap into what's real and tell us, you know, this is why it's funny. This is why it's okay for us to laugh at ourselves because this is everybody. This is how we all grow up. This is how life is. So it's kind of disappointing to see a guy
fall so far.
I don't even know fall so far because honestly, I don't think this hurt his career at all.
No, yeah, he did have that other CBS show. It wasn't called. They were running out of iterations of his name.
The Cosby Mysteries.
It was Cosby Show. Like the original one from the '70s was. Was it Cosby? Maybe it was just Cosby's Show or something like that. And then, of course, the one we all know from the '80s was the Cosby Show. And then I think this one from the '90s was just like Cosby.
Well, there was also the Cosby Mysteries.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, it was around the same time.
Uh huh.
And so, maybe there was one just called Bill. I don't know.
The thing is, the dude could never translate to movies.
No.
He never could. I mean, you've got Leonard Part 6, Ghost Dad.
Ghost Dad. Oh, my God.
Soon to be coming to an Editing Bay episode near you. but he just, he never worked. He didn't work for film.
And I don't know why.
I think it's just bad choice of projects.
I think so, too, because what's wrong with this movie, which we're going to get into here in a second, has everything to do with like the story and the execution and mm-hmm. just the way it was shot.
Right.
You can totally tell his style of humor because like you said, he is kind of real, but then there's always that one step further where it gets a little surreal, even in his stand-up stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so there's certainly some surreal elements to this.
I'm gonna say this, that Bill Cosby is also very subtle.
Yes.
He has a lot of subtlety, and sometimes in a movie like this, it doesn't translate well to film subtlety, which is kind of ironic because film is supposed to be the subtle medium. but there are subtle moments in this movie that I laughed at that I could see an audience going, huh, what? But I laughed at it. I was like, oh, my God, that's really funny the way that worked out. Okay, so...
Can we take it from the beginning?
Please tell me from the beginning. And what year was this movie made in?
It was. I'm so glad you asked that, Joe. It was released in 1987.
Okay.
And just to give you a little bit of context, here are some other movies that were released in 1987. Full Metal Jacket.
Okay.
Untouchables.
All right.
The Princess Bride. Oh. Lethal Weapon. Spaceballs. Wall Street. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Beverly Hills Cop. And Raising Arizona. So 1987 was a pretty good year for film. A lot of these names you'll recognize, even though they're 30 years old, because they're classics.
Mm-hmm.
30 years old, coming upon it? 25? I can't do math all of a sudden. Yes.
Yeah. No.
No? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah almost be, 30 years 30. Old. Yeah.
Leonard Part 6, if you haven't heard of it, there's a reason why it's not included in this list. It is not. So right away... The first thing you see or the first thing you hear is this like leftover Ghostbusters score. It's got
the Paramount logo
and the Paramount logo.
When did Ghostbusters come out? 84?
84 or 85? Yeah.
Okay.
And then it turns out. Well, yeah, this was scored by not Elmer Bernstein. Yeah, Elmer Bernstein
mm-hmm.
did the score for this. And so right away they're trying to but they're ripping off other better movies. And then the opening graphics or like the title sequence, there's like these horrible looking cartoon. Do you remember this? Did you you just saw this, right? You may have skipped this.
Oh, that's right. Where it looks like a kindergarten class.
It did.
Drew bunnies and frogs
yes.
and stuff. Then put like little like thumbtacks in them to make like the legs move and stuff.
It's awful and there's a horrible sound. And it looks like a screensaver from Windows 98 is what it looks like. It's very low res. So right away, that's a kind of a harbinger of things to come with the rest of this movie. So we're introduced to Bill Cosby's character.
Leonard Parker.
Leonard Parker. Wasn't the name of the tiger in Life of Pi, by the way?
Was it?
It was Richard Parker.
Oh, okay. But, you almost had me for a second. I was like, oh, my God.
That was a much better movie, by
Leonard
the way.
Leonard Part 7, The Life of Pi.
Well, okay, so you might be wondering why this is titled Leonard Part 6, and you find out right away. The kind of narrator, which I get the feeling was added after the fact.
Which, always beware of a movie mm-hmm. that has narration.
Yes.
Because that's going to tell you that like the movie, the filmmakers had a hard time with showing instead of telling.
And which is what film is about. And I get the feeling that some of these narration scenes were shot after the fact and inserted because a lot of it does. And there's voiceover. And it's all done by, he's a character in the movie. He's Leonard Partner, Bill Cosby's butler. Probably the highlight of the movie, would you say?
Yeah.
No? Is there a highlight to this movie?
I really don't know. I guess the only reason I would call him a highlight is because we're with him the whole time.
That's true. He kind of sets up the story. He's probably the only person who doesn't completely embarrass himself.
He's the Waylon Jennings of Leonard Part 6.
That's a nice
word. Where like they would freeze frame and he'd be like, this is about the time Leonard knew he was going to be in trouble. And then we cut to commercial.
Yep. He explains in this opening shot. Actually, I should say this. So we go from the credits, and then the first thing you see is like a rapid-fire montage of these ridiculous situations that Bill Cosby is in. Mm-hmm. He's ballet dancing. He's riding an ostrich. Yeah. He's in a tank Porsche. And for a second there, I thought, oh, this is intriguing. This could be kind of a funny movie.
They hooked you.
Maybe people don't like it, but looking back on it now, they will because, you know, I like Bill Cosby. I can see what they're doing with it. No, that is not the fact. So the butler goes on to explain that we're hearing part 6 of the story because parts 1 through 5 are classified for world safety or
for
something?
For national security.
Yes, because
they classified 1 through 5.
Because Leonard Parker is like the be-all, end-all, badass CIA agent, which is totally unbelievable because it's fucking 50-pound overweight Bill Cosby, and he's like yes. 60 years old.
Yes. Even then, he was like 50, 60 years old.
Yeah.
But we do get the impression from what's told to us by, you know, supporting characters that Leonard Parker is like, he's the badass spy. He's the guy that you go to get stuff done, but he's retired.
Oh, yeah. Always retired.
He's retired because his wife wanted him out of the business.
That's right.
So now he started, like, a restaurant. Well, there's some kind of shit going down. Like, some people, the bad guys set a trout loose. They've trained. Basically, somebody is training animals to kill.
Yes.
And you see this. In the very beginning, somebody lets a trout loose in a pool, and it kills a guy.
It just eats him alive.
Yes. And there's, nothing left.
It's kind of horrifying, and especially the way it's shot, you kind of got a POV of the fish.
Right.
And for a second
the fish is going through the sewer, but they let the fish loose in the sewer that leads to the pool. And as the fish is making its way through the sewer, it goes past a Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
Stops. Comes back, looks at the magazine. Almost like the robot from Short Circuit, like it's like taking everything in, and then it starts swimming back again.
Yeah,
busts through the filter,
the grate
on the pipe, and then eats this guy.
Yeah,
don't really know why this guy was a target. I missed that.
He was a CIA operative.
Oh,
as
okay.
Well. Hey, I know there's some. I was probably paying too much attention in this movie than I should have been. I was feverishly taking notes, but yeah, they set up. He was a CIA operative, and he's one of many who have been killed recently by. These animals.
By animals.
Freak, what would they think are accidents, but turns out, yes. Somebody. Yeah, the villain in this movie is a corporation led by, actually, the actress who plays the villain. I can't remember what
Gloria,
her name is.
Gloria something.
She's the Oracle from Matrix
from
movies.
Matrix. Yeah.
But only the parts 2 and 3 because
Gloria
the original
Foster.
One died. Yeah, Gloria Foster. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
She's hamming it up. Everybody loses dignity in this movie. I don't know who comes away unscathed. Again, maybe the butler.
Maybe the butler.
He gets to do some fun stuff.
So we find out that Leonard Parker is now running a restaurant.
Yes.
And this group of CIA agents or CIA, the heads of the CIA that all smoke.
Yes.
Did you notice that? Like
the 80s.
Every one of them had cigarettes in their hand.
Yep.
And like some of them weren't even smoking; they were just holding cigarettes. I didn't get what we were doing with that because it's not like we saw a pack somewhere to give like a logo, like if it was some kind of endorsement deal, like or whatever. That okay, product. You know, we've got product placement deal for this.
There is some product placement in
this
movie.
So much of it, but for the cigarettes, there weren't. There's no, you don't see a pack of these cigarettes, so you don't know what they are anyway. So everybody's smoking. It's absolutely disgusting. As somebody who used to smoke, even I'm saying it's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
They apparently sent some guy to go and get Leonard to bring him back to go on this mission or whatever.
This is their plan, to pull him out of retirement, is to send an assassin to his...
But they didn't... I don't think they meant to send... Did they mean to send this guy to kill Leonard?
I think so. Yeah, because afterwards, Cosby shows up and he's like, hey, why did you guys try to kill this guy? That's all. That's the best I got,
he
by
does.
The way.
Okay, so he did. Yeah, he did say that. And I think Joe Don Baker says something along the lines
of,
if he managed to kill you, then we didn't need you.
Then you weren't fit for the job. If you survive that, then you're the man for this job.
Okay, which makes no sense.
No, of course not. But again, we've already seen the trout looking at the Playboy. Clearly, this movie is trying to ride this line between, not farcical, but, you know, it's a little... I keep using the word surreal.
It is surreal, though. No, it feels like that's the right thing, because there are things that happen in this movie that, like, even in a comedy, people would react to differently than they're reacting in this movie.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's not Naked Gun comedy.
No. And going right back to this scene in the restaurant where this guy starts to try to kill Leonard, there's a gunfight. Like, he's firing multiple weapons in
AK-47.
A crowded kitchen.
Yeah, and none of
Leonard.
The chefs.
And none of the chefs are reacting. It's like he's shooting and it's opening up cans of olive oil, and these guys just continue to cook, and they're like, oh, needs more pepper. You know, what the fuck? Why is nobody reacting to this gunfire? It's not funny.
No.
That's not funny for people to not be reacting to it.
And for a second there, I was like, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe this is too high-minded even for me, and I should be laughing along with this movie.
What would have been funny is if this gunfight breaks out and, like, half the kitchen disperses, but maybe we set up earlier in the scene that, like, there's a deaf chef.
Yeah.
That works in the kitchen. And so while that's going on and there's the gunfight happening, these things are opening up and he's like cooking all these things because, that's funny because he's deaf.
Or maybe
it's funny because.
Maybe the implication is this happens all the time. This isn't the first time that he's tried to be assassinated because he's an ex-CIA.
I feel like
you don't get that.
They don't set that up enough to give us that idea that, this happens.
Now.
Yeah,
anyway,
no, we're
let's
making
gloss over
excuses
that
for it now.
Because we're still in the first part of this movie and it just goes downhill from here. So we should say that all of the murders that, you know, the cause is trying to stop, occur through animals.
Yeah.
Like, animals are killing people. So we already talked about the fish killing the guy in the swimming pool.
Yes.
I think the next fatality we see are by
frogs. That's what we see, but we're told in the briefing when he goes into the office that, like, a bunch of squirrels ran a car off a road and then ate the people that were inside of
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah, but the next one we do see, I believe it is... frogs.
It's the frogs.
A bunch of frogs. For some reason, the CIA is staking out this international tuna place. They already know who they're targeting.
I know. The logic in there. Well, let's talk about logic, because every time somebody dies, death by animal, they're always foreshadowed by, there's this creepy looking white guy who's always kind of like standing off into the corner.
Yeah.
But he's within range. Like, give that fucking guy a sniper rifle.
Right.
Why is he's ordering these fish and frogs and squirrels and marmots to kill people. He could totally just take them out with a sniper rifle.
Because they're making a point with the animals rebelling.
That's right.
There's an actual plot. That's the only thing in this movie that made any sense. For the context of the movie. It didn't make sense in a general stance, but... For the context of this movie, it made sense. These animals were turned on humans because of the actions of this vegetarian who runs this organization.
Yeah.
That's played by Gloria Foster.
Yeah, the Oracle.
The next murder that we see is a bunch of frogs that get underneath the car.
They get underneath a car. There's a CIA operative in there, and he's staking out the international tuna place. Is that a joke in itself, too? I'm not even – it's hard
know.
To tell. That's when you know a movie's wrong. It's hard to tell, like, what's supposed to be funny and what isn't supposed to be funny.
Uh-huh.
Because the things that are supposed to be funny aren't, and the things that aren't are kind of cringeworthy and awkward.
And the things that could be funny get glossed over.
Yep.
Or they're – like I said before, they're handled a little too subtlety.
Yeah.
Or subtly. There's a part where Leonard is – he calls up his wife because his daughters come home.
Right.
And you've got like this pile of luggage and his daughters come home and she wants to introduce him to her new boyfriend.
How old do you suppose she is? Or what does she look like in this movie?
She looks like she's about
early 20s.
27.
Sure.
I could
late 20s?
I could go as high as 27.
Ooh.
As low as about 22.
I don't know.
22.
She's playing kind of a little girl.
Okay.
Like just left the house.
I could
I'm thinking
see 22.
22, 23.
I could see 22, but I could also see 27.
All right. Well, even if we went with 27, her fiance that she brings home, because now she's an actress and she's trying to express herself, she's brought him her fiance, and he's like a 66-year-old guy.
66-year-old guy who's probably gay.
Yeah. He's the director of the play that she's in.
He wears a scarf, a silk scarf.
That's right.
He's very effeminate, and it's the interaction is entertaining. Where Cosby
Cosby and him?
Yeah, between right. Cosby and him. It's fairly entertaining. But again, like there's this general feel, and I'm going to keep saying this throughout this podcast, this general feel that like it's kind of going nowhere. Like,
yeah. What is with this B storyline?
No, I don't know.
What is the purpose of it? What do we...
This is the product of the broken marriage that him and his wife being divorced
has
created.
I think so. And it's
the rebellion, the acting out from the daughter.
Right. Well, but more importantly, it gives him an excuse to contact his ex. Are they even ex-wife or are they just separated?
They're separated.
They are separated.
Yeah, they're separated. But he calls her at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
2 o'clock in the morning. We never see her face. We just see her mouth as she picks up the
phone. And her pores.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The camera's so close on her face.
Well, this is before HD.
Yeah. And so he calls her up and she's like, come over to my place, dinner at 9.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. What follows is this montage-esque training sequence.
The longest fucking montage.
That, like, see, that's what I'm getting. Like, I think that's what's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
Is that it's only supposed to be one day, yet he's doing all this montage-y stuff where he's getting fitted for suits, he's working out, he's, you know, doing all these things to try to be a better guy, but he's only got, like, 16 hours to do it in.
And most of the things he's doing, they find a way to get him, like, half-naked. Whose idea was it that we need to see more of the Cos?
To get Bill Cosby half
I got to see him in a belly shirt while he's working out to a Jane Fonda video.
Yeah.
And he's just like ever sweating in this movie too.
Oh my God, yeah. No, he is so sweaty. He's so moist throughout this whole movie.
There are close-ups and the way he's lit, you just see like the sweat.
Yeah.
The
even perspiration. When he's not working out, even like general
sitting
scenes. Just
sitting in a car,
he is sweating his ass off.
Yeah. There's and then he's also like getting fitted for a suit, and you get to see his chest and his chest hair.
It's like,
they're like these little black. It looks like lint. It's like I didn't need this mental image filled in of what the Cos's bare chest looked like.
It's kind of like a little more sparse version of Carl Weathers' chest in Rocky.
Yeah,
you know, not. And this is about to be the most racist podcast that we've ever done.
Awesome,
but I'm just saying, like it's black person chest hair.
I'm okay with it. I'm just saying we didn't need to see it.
We didn't need to see it. No, we don't need to see it. And the thing is, we see a half-naked Bill Cosby moments after he kisses another man on the lips.
That's right. That's right.
Again, like a moment that I found myself, I laughed at it. I went, huh, that's pretty funny. Like it was so, he went for it.
Yeah.
He went for it, and I kind of applauded that in my own little way. I was like, oh my God, he totally went for it. And the other actor just went with it, was like, okay. So that was cute. I was like, okay, that's subtle.
Sure.
It was unexpected.
Yes.
Then there's this training sequence, and he's working out to a Jane Fonda tape, and in the middle of the tape, Joe Don Baker cuts in, and he's like, here are the specs on the thing we need you to steal.
Yeah.
He still hasn't agreed to take on this job, but Joe Don Baker suddenly shows up, and after the thing's done, Bill Cosby has like an actually like sincerely funny line where he's like, how'd he get on the tape? I laughed at that, but I got the idea that like, oh... Like, maybe I wasn't supposed to laugh at this.
No, I think that was supposed to be funny. But even the fact that we're sitting here questioning what was supposed to be funny and what wasn't shows you how wrong this movie is.
Uh-huh.
So, real quick, going back to, like, the young underage daughter hooking up with the old 60s guy. Not 60s guy, 60-year-old guy. It made even more creepy because didn't he, like, cheat on his wife later on in his career with a younger woman?
Girl. Yeah, with a younger woman.
And it's like, wow.
But it was a white woman.
Foreshadowing. I know, but still, the whole age difference thing.
Do you think that the woman he was caught in bed with was the nurse, the fortune-telling nurse?
Oh, were you getting a little bit of sexual chemistry from
them? Well, I was getting some kind of a weird, like, maybe they were doing something and it wasn't sex, but And that's who he caught her with? Because she's the only blonde white woman in the movie.
Did it happen around that time his career?
I'm thinking like, wait, maybe that's who it was. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out who the hell this woman is and how he knows her. Like, he's just like the butler's narrating, going, every time he gets ready to go on a mission, he goes to see Nurse So-and-so.
That's right.
And it's played by the woman who plays Darla in The Crow.
Yeah.
You may have also remember her from Unforgiven.
Who is she?
She plays the prostitute that gets all beat up and stuff at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think she's also one of the women that rapes Carla Gugino in a movie called Jaded.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Interesting.
She plays this weird, like, nurse fortune teller character who doesn't speak any language at all.
No, it's all kind of gibberish.
And I know I'm jumping around. I just thought she's the only blonde woman we see in this movie, and they made a point of saying, well, she caught you in bed with that young blonde woman. That young white blonde woman, I think, is exactly
what
he says.
That's right. She says, yeah, there's a little bit of racist when you think about it, too. Like, why she got to be white?
Right.
What's wrong with her being white?
So
really, who can resist an overweight, sweaty Cosby, you know, in a belly shirt?
In his ballerina
shirt. Just everybody knows. It's just aphrodisiac
for
all women. Anyway. So that's awkward. So there's a scene with her. He goes to visit her, and that's how he gets his clues, or I guess sometimes she gives him things and it helps him later on.
Yeah.
Almost like a video game.
Yeah.
She's almost like Princess Zelda.
But or more like the old man in the cave that gives you the sword.
Yeah, there you go.
But before that, before he even goes to see her, we have the dinner sequence with the wife. So we're about... What would you say, about 45 minutes into this movie?
I timed it. It's 35 minutes before he even accepts the mission to go on.
And
this is a short movie. It's like 95 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I say short. It felt much longer than that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
But yeah,
it's 85 minutes long.
Yeah, 85 minutes. He doesn't even start doing any CIA stuff until 35 minutes into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And everything before that is well, what we've described.
Right. So he goes to have dinner with his ex-wife. Or his separated wife or whatever, estranged wife.
And he thinks this is going to be the moment where they finally make up. Because
it's been 7 years.
Yeah. So leading up to this point, you know, he's trying to win her back. The butler's on his side and helping him in this endeavor.
Oh, he's like, I hope to see you at breakfast tomorrow morning, sir.
Creepy.
It's really cool. And, you know, you have the whole bit where it's like, you know, the butler's narrating saying, you know, because I knew this was a stressful moment, I didn't want to interrupt him, so I left him alone with his thoughts for the long ride to her place, and you find out she lives like three houses down.
Yeah, there's this long tracking shot. Okay.
They go to dinner, and, you know, she's pouring him wine.
Yep.
And she kind of spills a little on his shirt.
Things are going well.
And he's like, oh, it's no biggie. You know, it'll come out.
Mm-hmm.
They're having this pleasant conversation and stuff, kind of talking about how they want to put the past behind them.
Right.
And she just like starts putting food on him, just spilling food on him.
Takes like a ladle of soup and just like pours it down his arm.
Yeah.
And I guess that's when you're supposed to think, oh, okay, clearly she's not over catching him with this white blonde woman.
Right.
And there's still some animosity and some things to make up. But just the way it's done. Like, and again, this is something that could have been done on The Cosby Show. And in fact, I seem to recall a couple of episodes where there's some food play going on.
Yeah.
He's got some fetish about food. But it's just, it's weird.
It's very weird. It's drawn out.
And it's drawn out.
It's so flat.
And she's such a... I don't know if she's a bad actress, but she doesn't emote very well. She's trying to play like the coiled snake, where, like, you know, holding it all in. But
that's what we have in this movie.
Yeah,
it's a whole bunch of bad actors.
Yeah.
There's so many bad actors. There's so many bad performances in this movie. But with the dinner sequence, something that we should have gotten like some kind of hint of like the passion between these two and why, like, the fact that she's doing this to him, the fact that she's kind of hurting him is because she still loves him.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. And I know I'm asking too much from like a comedy.
She just seems like a robot.
But she was. Yeah, no. And that's every interaction in this movie. It's funny that we just finished talking about the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was like a natural lead into this podcast. Because there's so many flat, lifeless interactions in the course of this film.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's the performances. I get a strong feeling that like everything Cosby did in this movie, he just kind of delivered and thought, we'll just fix it in post.
Exactly.
And
or
they never did.
That and the fact that maybe the other cast and the crew were so intimidated by him. Because this is like at the height of his popularity.
Yeah.
This isn't pre-Cosby show. This is millions of Americans are going to rush out and see this new movie that Cosby's in.
Yeah.
And so maybe people didn't know how to react, or they were waiting for somebody to direct them, but clearly nobody was. So
they go have dinner, and
this is what I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
Let me interject.
Go on.
Because I think another reason that the comedy is hard to read, they do that thing that comedy movies did back in the 80s. I don't know that you see it so much anymore because so many people are watching these things on home video, but they left room in the pacing. Like, there would be a joke, or, you know, either verbal or some sort of visual cue, and then they would leave room for where they assumed the audience would be laughing.
Laugh. Yeah.
And so, like, the pacing is a little longer. So I can only imagine how those jokes fell flat in the theater.
Uh-huh.
Watching it at home by yourself,
it's painful.
With a bottle of wine, it is getting a little cathartic here. They fall even flatter. It's so sad to think that you guys thought that there was going to be a roarious uproar.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that made sense.
No, you know what? It's funny because in this movie, it gave us it was the precursor to Home Alone. Like, at one point, he shaves, and there's so, he's got the butler shaving him, and he's got, like, his face is just covered in mountains of shaving cream. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you would think, like, man, I wonder if they thought that was going to get, like, a huge laugh.
Yeah.
Like,
wow, look at the cars.
Oh, my God, look at all that shaving cream. And, like, they shave him, and then he gets the aftershave, and he puts it on his face.
And he's just
ouch, but he does the Bill Cosby face.
Yeah.
That I guess they were kind of counting on people laughing at that. That was going to be, man, that's going to kill. That's classic Cos right there.
Well, if that's the least bizarre thing in this movie...
But it's not. It's seriously, it's totally not. So that brings us to him going to see the nurse character.
That's right.
And she's speaking gibberish. She's got kids up in her, she like lives in a bus.
Yeah, they're throwing toys at him from their bunk beds.
Uh-huh.
And at one point she just outstretches her hand and is like rubbing his face.
She puts her fingers in his nose.
And it's like, who is this movie for? Yeah. It's not for adults. And it's not for kids because there's some dark shit going on.
Well, there's dark shit. It's a little too adult in tone.
It's adult in tone. There's implied nudity. Later on, when the Kaz and his wife, I guess, I don't know, they get back together, or they're trying to reconcile, they go see his daughter do the play that she's been talking
That's
about.
That's right.
That was directed by the 66-year-old guy that is now her fiancé.
Uh-huh.
And, like, in the middle of the scene, she just starts undressing and is taking off her clothes while she's saying lines. It's like her and this other white guy, and they're supposed to be a couple. Until she finally just like drops trowel, like loses everything. Now you don't see it. You see her feet and you see the skirt fall
down. And you see her from behind.
And then you
see
her. They do a curtain call. She bows and she's completely topless. Where does that fit in? Not even the story, but just the tone. The tone of this movie is all over the place.
No, the tone's all over the place. I figured like that scene is to try to get, I don't know, so that way we could see the Cos and his wife kind of on the same page.
But why is there like sexual stuff in this kids
with
flying ostriches?
I have no idea. And you know what? This movie, they totally had like this whole marketing thing going on with Burger King.
Let's talk
where
about
they had
that.
Leonard Part 6 cups and stuff.
Yep. There's a scene. Is it Coca-Cola or is it Pepsi?
It's Coca-Cola.
Like, is it Coca-Cola?
It was always Coca-Cola with Phil Cosby. That's why you always heard "Have a Coke and a Smile."
There's product placement all over, and just like shameless product placement.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so
everybody wanted a piece of this. People wanted a piece of this movie because the Cos was in it.
Well, how could it go wrong?
Is
the thinking.
Because nobody told the Cos no.
I think so.
And he was surrounded by people who didn't know what they were doing.
And let's take a moment to address that because this movie was critically panned when it came out. Actually, I wrote some stuff down. Let me give you some stats.
Sure.
So on IMDb, it has 1 star on IMDb. It's got a 21% on Rotten Tomato. Roger Ebert called it the worst movie of the year, and that was in 1987. Again, I listed the other movies. And even Cosby himself denounced it. But he can't get out that easily because he is the writer of this movie. Now, he's credited as the co-writer, but come on, we all know Cos wrote it, and then they just pulled in this other guy to kind of punch it up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember reading an interview with the director. God, who was the director of
Bill
this movie?
Cosby.
Paul Whelan, or Paul Whelan.
Yeah.
He directed it, and there was an interview with him where he was talking about this movie and like how they would do things, and he'd tell Cosby about like, but is that funny? Is this funny? And apparently the quote was, Cosby said, "You worry about the beats. I'll worry about the funny.
He should have worried.
He really should have. You know, the cinematography on this, did you remember who the cinematographer was?
No.
Jan de Bont.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, sir.
This must have been like his first film or something.
I don't know, but there it is right there on the back of the DVD.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Jan de Bont later went on to be a director. Twister. What were some of his other movies?
Didn't he do Speed 2 or something?
He was the cinematographer on Speed 1, and then I think he directed Speed 2.
Uh-huh.
But it has a great visual style.
Yes, he does.
Maybe not so good with actors, but man.
He did Beverly Hills Cop, didn't he?
Yeah, there you go. He was the DP on that. So,
yeah, that's right.
Interesting that he had his fingerprints on this. Well, it is not shot that way. It looks like a made-for-TV movie.
It does.
There's no dynamic dolly moves or really anything. Well, there's that one tracking shot that we talked about earlier. The car driving down the street. But that's about it.
When Cosby decides he's going to go into action.
Yeah.
See, we've kind of skipped a little bit between when he sees the nurse and when he goes to see the play with his wife.
Well, what does the nurse give him?
The nurse gives him a little jewel box.
Yeah.
That we don't quite know what's in it.
Not sure what's in it.
She gives him ballerina slippers.
Right.
And there was one other thing. I can't remember what the other thing was.
No, I think it's just the two things then.
It was just
later,
the two things then?
He sees her again.
Okay. So he goes to this facility, where the International Tuna Building, in his Porsche tank.
Yeah.
And just starts kind of doing what I'm assuming Cosby thought the audiences were going to eat up.
Wow.
Just Bill Cosby in military gear. Like,
you say military gear, and people are thinking like fatigues and camouflage. It is like a...
It's Captain EO's outfit.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. It's Captain EO. It's like white, and it's like Captain EO meets the Michelin Man.
Yeah. With a Chewbacca bandolero thing
around his
chest.
And rockets under his arms.
Under his arms. He's got like... These flat grenades.
Yeah. And his helmet, it looks like a bike helmet.
Yeah, it does. And
like
it says
long
ipso facto.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's getting all geared up at home, and the butler's like reciting old like Shakespearean quotes and like Patton.
I gotta admit, that was the sole moment in this movie where I kind of chuckled.
I chuckled too when he said, "Do the Latin."
Yeah,
he says, no, "Say the Latin, do the Latin," and the guy starts reciting Latin.
Ominous flictus, yeah.
Yeah, and they get down to the car, and then he takes off.
Well, like his little ritual that they've done thousands of times,
right?
Before.
And so then they take off, and he goes to the International Tuna Building, and he's blowing things up like this. Instead of just doing like an explosion from the barrel of the tank, and then like showing like just cans blowing up, they like animated a bullet from the tank.
What the hell?
Do you remember
this? Clearly, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course, because it stands out like a sore thumb. It's like a hand-drawn bullet that's like frame by frame.
And it just, it goes into the stuff until it blows up. And then it's almost like you could tell he thought audiences were going to eat this up.
He's rolling around.
He's rolling around in a battlefield. And he's
again, sweating. Just sweating his ass off.
Horribly. No, not fighting anybody.
No, it's
just
him.
Just
him alone.
Him.
And a door.
Rolling around, shooting at a door, trying to blow a door up.
It is awkward. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. And so eventually they just open the door and let him in.
Yeah.
And he fights like a bunch of Cirque du Soleil guys.
this bird fight / dance scene.
What were they trying to set up? That these were like, were these animals crossbred with human?
That's what my takeaway was, but they never said.
But they showed, like, after the fight sequence, they showed, like, a professor dealing with, like, little young birds drinking some kind of fluid.
Yeah, to turn them into, like, birdmen.
Yeah, I guess that's what was going on.
It was a bizarre twist.
They never really discussed, like, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what the deal is.
And it's just, it's awkward. and the way it's introduced is as anticlimactic as possible. Like, their feet are tapping, and it's supposed to be, you know, foreboding. But,
and one of them has like Wolverine claws.
Yeah.
And she's like, wound him.
Uh-huh.
The Gloria Foster character. Yeah. She's wound him. I don't know how anybody's hearing her say anything because it's not like she's turning on a mic.
That's a good point. Yeah, she's just speaking.
She's just speaking.
They're normal.
And these guys, they like start just kind of dancing around him, and they're like cutting at him, taking his weapons off. But they don't kill him.
No.
And he drops his ballet slippers.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's this guy in a wheelchair. And his only line is,
kill him.
Now,
he is actually, him and the butler were my two favorite characters.
Andy was one of your favorite characters?
Yeah, because he was kind of saying what we were all saying, and that I could see was a little bit of satire pointed towards the James Bond movies, uh-huh. where you know the villain would always like put him in an intricate trap instead of just like taking out a gun and shooting him. And Austin Powers did that same play, but did it in a much more clever way.
Yeah,
this was just a guy in a wheelchair, and every time you know they take him to the other room, and he's just like, just kill him.
A part where they're taking Leonard to a prison cell, and Andy in the wheelchair is following after them. And they hit some steps, and he can't go any further. And I actually laughed out loud at that point. And I know it's horrible. I shouldn't laugh at that, but like that, it's stuff
handicap
like that.
Handicap humor, everybody.
Yeah, it's stuff like that in this movie that I actually found funny, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's the causes a sense of humor, and I appreciated that about him. And I saw every time you see those little moments shine through. It just makes you feel that much worse for the rest of the movie that just falls flat.
Oh, yeah.
Unsuccessful.
So he manages to steal the sphere that apparently, you know, that's controlling the hypnotized animals.
Yeah, who cares?
What you find out in the jewel box, you find out that there's a queen bee in the jewel box, and he sets it loose in a room full of bees, and apparently she seduces all of them.
Yeah.
And he's able to get in there and steal the device and get the hell out.
And these things aren't clever, these little deus ex machinas. And it happens later because he goes back to revisit the, what are we calling her? Like the soothsayer or?
Yeah, the nurse.
He doesn't go back
to visit her. They happen to be driving down the road at the same time. And she somehow body switches with the butler.
Yeah, which was never explained and kind of awkward. And weirdly shot. Like I wasn't quite sure what was supposed to be happening.
Yeah.
But she supplies him with meat.
Yes.
Some burger patties and a hot dog, which comes into play later.
And butter.
And melted butter.
Melted butter.
What the fuck was with the melted butter? Okay, so he goes back. Are we skipping around? Do we care?
We're skipping. I think, well, we kind of hit awful. On them going to the play.
Yeah.
And his wife gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
And so he has to go, and that's when he gets all suited up, and he's taking off to go save her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the nurse character catches up with him. And somehow, like, there's this weird chase going on now. Where Cosby and the nurse are in his war Porsche, and the butler's now driving the bus with all the kids on it.
Yeah.
Who are playing like an early version of Duck Hunt meets like Afterburner.
That's right.
It was really weird.
Yeah.
Really weird sequence. Again, because like you don't have any kind of idea where they're going, why they're going, where they're going.
Yeah.
You have no sense of direction at this point. Mm-hmm. Everything's scored so dully that you can't tell if is this an action sequence? Is there any sense of immediacy going on here other than the fact that people are driving fast? I don't get what's happening.
Let's jump to can we talk about the lobsters?
Please. Let's
get
to the lobsters.
So he and his ex-wife or whatever get captured, and they're now chained to a wall, and they let loose these lobsters, you know, because all the animals are crazy, and they're intelligent now, and they're coming to kill you. They've been trained. Trained assassins.
These lobsters bust through a brick wall.
That's right. Like the Kool-Aid man. And they're coming slowly at them. And then that's when the Cos realizes he has the melted butter, or does he get free first?
No, one of the lobsters cuts through his lines.
That's right.
And he manages to grab him,
uh-huh.
and then put him up against the other one and cuts it. And then he tries to get his wife free, but it won't snip anymore. And he finds the butter in his pocket, and that makes the thing get scared, and it starts snipping. And then he puts two and two together that somehow these lobsters know what it's like to be cooked and should be scared of melted butter.
That's what so now cut to. All right, so they've been freed. Their shackles are now freed, but they still have all these lobsters around them, but they have sticks of melted butter.
Uh-huh. Like Van Helsing with a vampire.
A little bit. And what occurs afterwards is... like it was so bizarre, and I that's when I stopped drinking the wine because I was like, I'm not. This may be affecting me too much, but they're like, they're chasing away these lobsters, but it doesn't. It's not good enough that they're just holding melted butter. For some reason, they have to keep repeating,
they keep saying
melted
it.
Butter,
melted butter.
She's doing it too. Melted butter. This happens later when the meat patties that he's been given by the nurse come into play, and he's tossing them at the birds. And
because Joel, it's not a visual medium film. They have to. It's like Austin Powers saying judo chop.
Yeah.
As he's judo chopping you.
Yes.
You know that they do that constantly in this movie where people are narrating what they're doing.
Yeah. So as he's tossing the hamburger patties at the birdmen. And everybody knows that vegans are allergic and their skin gets melted off by meat.
By
That's all I have to do. Yeah. So he's tossing meat. But as he says it, he's just like, meat, meat.
More meat.
Meat.
Pork.
Yeah.
It's not he's funny not he doesn't even have any pork, but he's like, pork, meat.
And it's awkward. It's so horrible.
100% beef.
And then the worst part is when he whips out the hot dog. And so the guy.
Oh, my God. That was so weird.
The guy who has been sicking the animals on all of the victims, the CIA operatives. Which, by the way, what the fuck does quellish mean?
I don't know. I don't know what quellish means. Also, this weird countdown in like the fact that they had to put like different colored light bulbs in the wall.
Yeah.
Like they didn't control them by any kind of a board. There was a map, and like this is the crazy thing about this movie is that this villain.
This is the crazy thing.
This villain has this whole like plot going on, but it's almost only in like. Southern California.
Yeah, like it's the Bay Area of
that's
San Francisco.
That's all that she's got planned. She's taking over Southern California.
Well, baby steps, Joe.
First, animals.
The Golden Gate, and then the world. Step three, profit.
They had all these, like, they killed people with frogs and with trout and with lobsters.
Yes.
But they had, like, cows and pigs and shit and sheep in this place, but they never once used these animals.
Well, that was for phase two. We never got to. That'll be in Leonard Part 7.
Oh, God.
One can presume.
Okay, so go ahead.
So he's tossing meat, you know, at all the birdmen and taking them out. So the whole time that, you know, every time the animals assassinate somebody, they're controlled by that creepy white guy who I told you shows up.
And he says the word quellish.
He says quellish, and I guess that's the key word
Cosby
that sets him up.
Cosby says it at one point when the CIA guys are trying to make the bunnies react to the thing.
Yeah.
He says, you did all this. Did you say quellish? And like all the bunnies just attack.
And that's how they go
crazy.
How
does Cosby know to say that word?
It's never explained. It doesn't make any sense at all. I Googled the word quellish, hoping that... You know, is there some sort of in-joke that I'm not in on? Nope. Uh-huh. Even fucking Google doesn't know what quellish
means. Wow, so. I thought maybe if we put it in that...
Well, maybe
we'd
I'm spelling it wrong, but what, Q-U-E-L-L-I-S-H?
That's how I would have said it.
Thank you. It's like relish, except it quells you.
I'm going to try W.
Whatever. So this guy, you know, we're at the huge climax now where all the animals are attacking or being let loose. And Cosby is tossing the meat patties at the birdmen. Whips out the hot dog. And the creepy white guy, like... I don't know what he's doing. Cosby's like wiggling the hot dog around in his hand, which is phallic in its own right.
It's very phallic.
The guy just kind of comes up. He's mesmerized by it
and
takes a
just
huge bite
down
at it.
On not,
just
wait,
like fucking
before biting it,
fillets.
He just fillets it. Like he puts his mouth completely on it, sucking off this hot dog
he
that
does.
Bill Cosby has in his hands.
Yes.
And then takes a chomp out of this disgusting hot dog that was sitting in Bill Cosby's pocket.
Ugh.
And then starts like chewing it, like all like satisfied and stuff.
And then his head explodes.
And becomes sand. It's like his head becomes sand.
Well, they're vegans. Everybody knows that this is how you defeat vegans. Making them ingest meat and then their heads explode.
But not
That's
only
just
did
science,
his head explode,
Joe.
Joel, not only did his head explode, his body still putting up a fight.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. They have special powers, those vegans. We learned that from Scott Pilgrim. So that's probably the most disturbing thing I've ever seen committed to film.
Yeah. Pretty close to it. There wasn't a point to anything that was going on in that scene.
It's not funny. Not sexy.
And not even just that. And I'm not isolating it just to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the henchmen, they're all wearing these weird, like, spandex pants.
Yeah.
And, like,
a lot
really
of,
tight tank
and again,
top shirts.
This is rated PG.
Yeah.
This is a PG film.
And yet this whole last sequence felt like it was something out of the Wiz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very much so.
Yeah, all these dancers and these...
And the meat. I don't know why this movie was made. I don't know. It really needed some oversight.
They didn't explain what the villain, like why the villain was doing what she was doing, other than the fact that she was a vegetarian.
She's a vegetarian, and I guess she was an ambassador for all animals, and she talked about how, you know, humans have over the millions of years, have enslaved animals. We used to live side by side, but now they're subservient to us.
Could this movie have maybe dealt with instead of family drama with Cosby, could we have maybe worked on a backstory for the villain?
I think so, too. That's the problem. It didn't know what it wanted to be. I really do think that it was like, we get Bill Cosby, we'll put him in anything. It doesn't matter what. It's like Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what Adam Sandler does. He's got his legion of fans that are going to go see it, and he's funny on his own.
I'm going to tell you this. Okay. And you know what? It'll probably get me ostracized from like every social group that I'm a part
ostracized of. Ostracized or ostrich-sized?
Oh, Jesus.
There's an ostrich that he rides and flies off the
screen. I hate you so much. So... the
that actually sounds like something you would order at the McDonald's drive-thru. I like the ostrich size.
In Australia. Where are ostriches? Are they from Australia? Where the hell
sure,
are they
why
from?
Not. I don't know.
Okay, so...
Not America.
Let's just say at least Adam Sandler movies have a through line.
Yeah.
At least Adam Sandler movies give us... Even though if they do it in a boring way, they give us beats. They give us traditional beats to a story.
Yeah.
They give us at least a little bit of construction, some kind of a base, some kind of a framework for a traditional movie. We get that in an Adam Sandler movie. We do not get that in Leonard Part 6. And I don't know if we didn't get it because of a conscious decision or that because these people just weren't smart enough to craft a film in the most basic of ways that, you know, a character needs to go on a journey. And there really wasn't a journey for Leonard Parker here other than the fact that, you know, he kind of got his wife back, but getting his wife back was such a like a weird shoehorned B plot.
Exactly. Well, and it's hard to feel like any sort of connection to these characters because she's talked about for the first act. We never see her. And then when we do see her, she's this stone-faced bitch who's just like pouring food on him. This guy's got a food fetish. I don't know. Oh, and then of course, that's how we wrap the movie up.
Oh, yeah.
So it's another scene of Bill Cosby just getting food piled upon him. And then the credits start to roll. But we have to cut away to the cutout takes of him.
First off, when they go in, you know, it's a big surprise. Leonard and his wife save the day. I don't remember exactly. Like Andy, the guy who's like, kill him. He just kind of accidentally rolls his wheelchair into a vat of chemicals.
Yeah.
And then the Gloria Foster character ends up getting like doused with a bunch of the chemicals too.
Yeah.
And then the building blows up and Cosby flies
off on an
ostrich.
But not before all
of
the animals escape.
That's
right. And there's like a bunch of shots of like bulls running.
So they end up going to dinner in what isn't a restaurant. It looks more like a if you were in a restaurant and you got like one of those meeting rooms rented.
Yeah. It's in the private room.
A reception hall. They just decide to have dinner in a reception hall. And there's like a whole bunch of like waiters and shit. As they're walking in, like, where were they? Were they in a house or were they at a restaurant?
It did seem like it was like his house or something. It was probably his restaurant, right? We set up at
you
the
know
beginning
what? That's,
of the film.
Because I completely forgot about that. Maybe it was his restaurant. So then they're walking through like a receiving line of people. And like one of those guys is his daughter's fiancé, the old man.
Which makes no sense.
But they're not together anymore because then they talked about how the daughter went off to join Greenpeace.
Yeah. Why is he working as a maitre d'?
I have no idea.
Yeah, no, not explained. So you mentioned something now all these plot holes. The fact that this movie is 85 minutes, you suppose there's a lot of stuff left on the cutting room floor that maybe we're not seeing?
I don't know, Joel.
Will there be a director's cut of Leonard Part 6?
I get the feeling that like they struggled just to fill these 85 minutes.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
to keep anybody's attention.
But getting back to what you were saying, then they start eating.
Yeah.
Or not, they don't start eating.
No.
He says, the person comes over and he's like, thank you, my wife will feed her husband or serve her husband.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's kind of sexist.
Subservient.
Yeah. So then, there's that knowing look and he's like, go ahead, do it. And so, she starts like just pouring food all over him.
Again.
And then like,
and it's supposed to be played for like, oh, aren't we playful? Aren't we
it's
sexy?
It's cute. He's doing it on purpose now. He knows that he needs to make amends or something.
Well, and again, like if this were an episode of The Cosby Show, I remember some stuff between him and Felicia Rashad.
Claire.
Where there was some food play, like Cool Whip. She put Cool Whip on his nose in an episode. Or, you know, there's a lot of him getting his face planted in cakes. Okay, it works there. But just having like... clam chowder just poured down your sleeve of your tux. This is not sexy. It's not funny.
It's not.
It's
disgusting.
A food fetish. Yes.
It makes. I don't know about you. That kind of stuff makes me feel uncomfortable.
It made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And would it have been less uncomfortable if it were like, you know, Channing Tatum and like Emma Stone, like attractive people pouring food on each other?
I don't know. I think it still would have been creepy.
Kind of getting myself worked up thinking about that. Actually.
So they do that though. She starts putting food on him, and then they kiss. Freeze frame.
Yep.
Then we go to credits. But then we cut back away, and there's more food being poured on
spaghetti,
each other.
Spaghetti. It's all like noodly.
And then they kiss again. Yeah. Freeze frame.
Yeah.
And then we go to like the actual credit scroll.
Finally. Good God. Yeah.
What is the lesson that we as the viewer need to take away? What is it? There's always some kind of base point that we're supposed to take away from every story.
From a film?
What are we supposed to take away from Leonard Part 6?
I don't think there's any message trying to be conveyed here. I think the message is, I'm Bill Cosby, fuck you. That's the thing. I'm going to do whatever I want. You're going to love it because I'm fucking Bill Cosby.
But even then, we found out that Bill Cosby told people, don't go see this movie.
Yes. Has that happened recently? I mean, you know, in film history,
you
in the
know
last
what? Jim Carrey started speaking out against Kick-Ass 2,
but that's only because of the shooting, the school shooting, and the backlash, and his whole, you know, violence on TV.
Yeah.
Jeff is giving us the jerk off motion with his hand in the room. Totally. Yeah. He's a fucking hypocrite.
Uh-huh.
And I hate Jenna McCarthy. So.
Well, they're not together anymore anyway.
Oh, well, good. Fuck them both. They deserve each other. Sorry. No, I like Jim Carrey, though, but I understand why he's doing that. You know, that's his Hollywood crowd and his anti-guns and whatever. This was just, I'm Bill Cosby. I'm fun. It's a lot like what we were talking about in the Star Wars episode that we just recorded with George Lucas. There were too many enablers around him. There were a bunch of yes men.
Uh-huh.
Nobody had the balls to tell him no, except for the people who went to see this movie.
Yeah.
We had a unanimous no, Bill Cosby. And we will not see Leonard Part 7.
And then the film came out. He told people, don't go see it.
Yep.
And it became, it was an epic box office bomb.
It grossed, I had to look this up, just over $4 million.
That is
for a huge, I mean, it doesn't look like a big budget movie.
What was the budget on it?
I couldn't find that. I should have looked that up. But you know, like $20 million is for Bill Cosby alone, right?
Yeah.
Although I guess he was kind of the producer and writer on this. So
but
maybe
you know he gave himself a paycheck for it.
Absolutely.
Come on.
So it definitely lost money. And, you know, there's a lot of production value. There's a lot of explosions and costumes and animals. Animals, just how much time on the set to get those shots? Because
an animatronic Bill Cosby on an animatronic ostrich flying off of a building.
Was it animatronic or was, I think that was like stop motion, like Phil Tippett.
I think you're
puppets.
Right. I think you're right. I think it was more like, yeah.
But
it was
still,
like
not cheap.
A Clash of the Titans Bill Cosby.
Exactly. A Ray Harryhausen presents Leonard Part 6.
Oh, God.
But yeah, there was a moment early on in this movie. I was about to call it a film by accident. This is not a film. This is a movie. Where I thought, This could be surprising. This could be funny in a Bill Cosby sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
It could have some redeeming qualities, but I struggle to tell you what they are.
Yeah. So was there anything in this movie that, like, besides the butler?
I like the butler, and I like Killam.
Andy. Yeah. My love. That's every time. She's like, yes, Andy, my love. Yeah. I think I will.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's it. That comes out of it. I mean, a sexy young Jane Fonda working out on the TV.
I hate Jane Fonda, though, too.
Yeah, I don't care about her politics, but she was hot back in the day.
I guess. I'm not into that 80s hair, that kind of bouffant, curly.
I wasn't looking at her hair.
She was wearing spandex, to be fair.
The Joe Don Baker stuff, like, I felt like Joe Don Baker's a fine enough actor that they could have done something with him.
Yeah.
It's really disappointing. It's a disappointing film. It's not like I expected much. Like when I texted you,
no,
and I was like, "Hey, dude, Leonard Part 6. What do you think?" And you're like, "Yes,
I'm excited to, because I love to hate bad movies. You know, mm-hmm. It's a little bit of Schadenfreude. We all, oh, how crappy was Birdemic? Look how horrible and amateur they are. But this one, somebody was trying.
Yeah.
I guess Cosby was kind of trying in his own way.
Jan de Bont.
Jan de Bont, certainly. You know, and now that you mention that, I forgot about that whole bird fight / dance scene. There's some nice lighting going on there. You kind of have a bit of what's the guy's name who did Batman Forever?
Oh, Joel Schumacher.
Joel Schumacher. Oh, it felt a little Joel Schumacher-ish.
Oh, my God. I am struggling to try to find something that I enjoyed.
This movie is for no one.
Yeah.
Not kids, not adults.
It's not even fun to watch in a, you know, let's watch this ironically kind of thing. It really is. It's a waste of time. It's not there's nothing. There's really nothing that I'm trying to find something positive that I could have said about this movie.
This was before Ghost Dad, right?
Yeah.
How did Ghost Dad do?
Ghost Dad did not do well.
I didn't think so either.
It did not do well. That's what I'm saying. Bill Cosby is not a box office draw.
No. Well, not after that. He could have been. I think he had the potential to be.
In what?
In this. What? Well, I mean, like, this was his big first.
Do you think, honestly, do you think, like, an action Austin Powersy kind of spy movie?
No, this was not the vehicle.
Was
no
the
pun
vehicle
intended,
for him? No.
Him. No.
What you want to see Cosby in, and I'll tell you, Cosby should have been in movies now. Like,
he
if only
like,
Tyler Perry was around 30 years ago producing films, I think Bill Cosby would have found his niche.
Yeah, yeah.
And been like, you know, he could have been like the knowledgeable uncle or knowledgeable grandfather in those Tyler Perry movies.
He does those parts well. Why have, is it because of the black community?
Ostracized
him
again? I think
again?
It might be because he's talked shit
yeah.
about like pull your pants up and stop acting like a fool.
Yeah, controversial.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's really sad to see one of my like comedy heroes and one of my childhood, somebody I looked up to, and again, like I said, got a lot of my sense of humor from him.
But he's a funny man. You know, I won't take that away from him. The guy has done brilliant stand up. He's again, his writing is fantastic.
Yeah.
He just can't translate to film.
I wonder if somebody has like incriminating pictures of him.
Probably. I'd assume so. You can't be as big as he is and not have somebody that has some dirt on you.
That's true. Maybe it's that blonde.
If we were
that blonde white woman.
Oh my God. If we were to remake Leonard Part 6 today, who would we cast? What kind of movie would it be? Would we try for a straight-up action?
See, yeah, I was going to say, you go Michael Bay on this motherfucker.
Do you?
Bring Jan de Bont back. He can be the DP.
Okay.
And we'll shoot it slow-mo style. We'll get Nicolas Cage. No. who do you... you get Will Smith. Will Smith is...
As Leonard Parker?
Leonard, yeah.
Okay.
What's that chick's name? Vivica A. Fox. She is the wife that he's trying
to...
So
it's
Independence Day reunion. I just realized. Oh, wow. Coming back together again on the screen since 1994, whenever Day came out.
Who would be the butler?
Who played Frodo? No, not Frodo. Bilbo.
Oh, Bilbo? Ian Holm?
Young Bilbo in The New
Hobbit.
The guy
Hobbit that's in Sherlock.
From Sherlock.
Oh, God. I can't. Now that
you know
said it,
I'm
I can't
about.
Remember his name.
But
yeah.
he even has that same look.
Yeah.
And he's got that comedic timing.
Wow.
So, although if it's not going to be a comedy, maybe you don't get him. I don't know. He can do it all.
I don't know.
This movie does not need to be remade.
I really don't know. I don't know. I think in today's climate, if you can make two Smurf movies...
That's true.
We could bring back Leonard Part 6, and we could make it kind of a viable thing. I would like to bring it back, and I think that I would probably have, I'd like to have like Robert Rodriguez have a go at the script.
Make it campy.
Uh-huh. Make it a little campy. I probably wouldn't have Rodriguez direct though. I don't like Rodriguez directing, but
I do
like his writing.
Yeah.
I'd probably see if you could get like Gondry to direct it.
Michel Gondry.
You saw his Green Hornet, right?
Yes, I did, actually. You know what? That's not a bad idea.
It's not a horrible film.
No, no.
And I kind of feel like he managed to balance some of the comedy and action pretty well.
Good call, yeah.
So I think that he'd probably be able to do a Leonard Part 6, a modern Leonard Part 6, pretty decently.
And he is the type of... eccentric director where he would take it on. We have to have a cameo for Cosby in here though. He would play the old guy.
I think Cosby should be the Joe Don Baker role.
Yeah He's the one who's fucking the young daughter.
Don Baker role.
Who's that?
The guy who's the head of the CIA.
Who has to bring him in. Yeah. I see.
Yeah. And I don't know. We'd probably bring in...
Did that guy look like the Wild Bill Hickok character from American Ninja?
He kind of looked like the Wild Bill Hickok character.
Same actor.
Yeah.
He gets around.
But, you know, he looked a lot like Rooster Cogburn from Walking Tall because he was.
Yep.
he was also in the Pierce Brosnan and James Bond movies. He played the Felix Leitner character.
Oh, no way. It's that same guy.
I'm trying to figure out who the hell I would cast as Leonard Parker. Like, part of me almost wants to see
Eddie Murphy.
No, not Eddie Murphy. I would almost make it like, what is it, Keenan on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that guy. Fat Albert?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, God.
I would probably throw him in it.
Wow. You get Michel Gondry, directs him.
Or Anthony Anderson. Because I think Anthony Anderson.
Who is that?
Maybe. Well, you've seen him in a bunch of comedies. He was the fat black kid in the Transformers movie, the first Transformers movie.
Yeah.
But he's now lost a lot of weight, and he's like on an SVU or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I might have it be him.
Yeah, he's good too.
Because he's lost a little bit of weight. He could still do some comedy,
yeah.
But he still kind of has like
That's
a
true.
Little bit of gravitas to
That's
him
true.
As well.
Could ground this movie.
Dude, I
That's
would love to
That's kind of how
try.
Green Hornet did.
By the way, Martin Freeman played The Hobbit.
Yes. Thank you.
And,
there you go. He's the butler.
For the butler, oh my gosh. I think the butler, I would probably, throw like Jude Law in. just to have a recognizable Brit in the movie.
That's
like
true.
People go, oh, it's Jude Law.
He's got a good narrating voice,
yeah.
too. So if we need to fill in the plot holes with VO
and
later.
He's already done like the Watson kind of role.
That's true. That's true.
For the
I'm kind of excited about this now.
Right? And for the vegetarian, I don't know. I don't know who I would cast as the vegetarian role. Maybe Emma Watson. I would just throw in some character that's completely random.
Emma Watson.
Yeah, just some completely random actress.
I could see that. I was trying to find a black actress, but
I see. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to just find wafy
yeah.
and thin. Someone who would be vegetarian.
Yeah, she is. Oh, what about? Who's that character actress who's always like the best friend? She was in like 13 Going on 30. She's really skinny.
I don't know.
She's on Arrested Development. She's the secretary.
Oh, I
Jeffrey
don't know.
Tambor's secretary.
I don't know.
Oh,
I have
my
no
God.
Idea.
Somebody listening to this is screaming at the...
Well, they can comment on it on Please. Our Facebook
Put
page.
Put it on the Facebook page.
But yeah, I guess that's what I would do with a Leonard Part 6 remake.
I like that.
Either that or we make it.
I think we'd do it. I'm gonna call Michelle Gundry.
I don't think
get
the,
him out of
I
retirement.
Don't think the rights to it are pretty expensive.
No, probably
I
not.
I wonder if we could option this. I wonder if this is public domain by now.
Well, seeing as how difficult it was to find the DVD, the actual disc. Where did you find that, by the way?
Half Price Books.
Well, there you go.
It was Half Price, and it was still new. It had the sticker on the top.
Of course
and stuff.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of them were buried in a landfill.
What was it that you said? Because I took a picture of it and I showed it to you, and the price was $5.99, and you're like, oh my God, it's $6. It's Leonard Part 6, and we're going to do it as our sixth episode.
That's right. It's an omen, 666.
And it really was.
What it turned out to be.
It's probably, I would rather watch FDR, American Badass,
wow,
again.
Wow, and you hated that.
I really did not like it. I did not like
That's
it.
It's too bad.
At least FDR, American Badass. Had some beats to it.
That's a great movie.
Whereas, oh my God, no, it wasn't a great
the
movie.
Film.
But this I cannot recommend.
No.
And
well, luckily you can't find it anywhere anyway.
Right.
Or maybe at a Half Price Books near you.
Ugh. So that's it. That's
yep.
Leonard Part 6, guys.
we've depressed ourselves.
We don't want to talk about this anymore. I want to thank you for listening. So we've got this live edition of the editing bay that we're getting ready to do. We're going to have more details on that coming up, but basically telling you what the plan is.
Yep.
We're going to have a live viewing of a movie. We don't quite know yet. In fact, we might put it on our Facebook page.
We'll let y'all
let
vote.
You vote on what it is that you want to see.
That's a great idea.
And then once we're done watching it, you know, we're going to sit down and we're going to do a live recording of the editing bay,
yep.
where you will be able to interact with us. You'll be able to ask some questions on the mic and kind of add your points as well.
What kind of questions would they be asking?
Oh, my God. I have no idea. I guess it depends on the film.
That's true.
But we'll put up a few options on the Facebook page,
yeah.
and give you all the details. Then we're looking at something, you know, probably late this month,
yep.
late August,
mm-hmm.
Try to get that underway. So just keep an eye on the Facebook page, and
it'll be fun.
We'll
it'll be like a live roast of a movie directly
right.
after watching it.
Oh, I'm totally excited about it.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
God, do you have any ideas for next week?
You know, I do have a list. I've had some fairly active people on my Facebook page. Kevin actually is the main one. He's given me like three movies, and he is asking me to do Blood Moon. Which apparently is from the 90s. He sent me the, or I'm sorry, from the 80s.
Okay.
But he said it's one of those movies that it's so bad that it's good.
Okay.
Or at least that it's easy to make fun of.
All right. I assume it's a werewolf movie?
I have no idea. He's explained it to me twice and I still can't tell you. So I'll have to, we'll have to put the trailer up. But we've got a couple of options here, but Blood Moon is one of them.
Blood Moon is one of them. And if you have any options, again, you go ahead and write us. On our Facebook page, we've set up our own individual Facebook page. That way we're not spamming the Next Wave page. All you got to do, go to your search bar and type in the editing bay, and that should bring us up. And just go ahead and interact with us there. Again, thank you, Joel.
Hey, thank
for,
you.
For this, for sitting through this horrible movie. Thank you, Jeff, in the studio for recording this. And again, thank you for listening. My name's Joe.
I'm Joel.
We are the Editing Bay, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
That's fucking gold.